Mark, what were your thoughts about the NSABP presentation at the ASCO 2007 meeting, where they came up with this kind of weird formula to try to predict what cardiac safety would be? And then when I first saw it, I was like, what is this? And then you look at the curve, and it was kind of impressive. Can you talk about what your thoughts were about that?
I think it's very impressive. It's almost the adjuvant online equivalent of cardiac safety for adjuvant trastuzumab with anthracycline-based regimen. So, you know, it's a first foray into that, finding predictive models that might be useful to practicing clinicians, even online, that you could access in the future. It needs to be confirmed, but you know that formula can be applied to all of the other adjuvant trastuzumab data sets and see if it holds up. And if it does, then I think it could prove to be a very useful tool.
JB, what are some of the clinical factors right now, in a short of complex formulas like this, that should be weighed in? There are some people who are just using TCH anyhow in this situation. But for those people who are kind of waiting for situations to be more selective about, what are the key clinical factors to look for?
One of the things we really focus a lot are on the comorbidities. I think we underestimate how much comorbidities contribute to outcomes of cancer. We have taken the policy that if we get a patient through their cancer therapy, through their breast therapy, and they end up dying of a myocardial infarction, we failed. If they end up dying of a complication of their diabetes, we have failed because we have not adequately treated their comorbidities going into this. So when these patients are going into their therapy, if they have diabetes, we make sure that their hemoglobin A1C is within 6.5 or less. Why would that be so important? There's data that comes from a study called the DAGAMI study. For every 1% absolute increase in your hemoglobin A1C, a 15% rise in the incidence of heart failure. So simple measures like that, if there is another paper that was published by Hefner in New England in 1999 that looked at individuals who do not have diabetes, who have diabetes, who've had diabetes and an MI, and who have diabetes alone, the incidence over 7 years of having a cardiovascular event, if you've had diabetes, is 45%. So what we try to focus on are comorbidities such as that, such as hypertension, that we can tightly control, and hopefully we'll have the data for that in the future. Jay Piccirillo from WashU has data that he published in Journal of the American Medical Association about 3 years ago. 19,000 patients looking at diabetes, hypertension, clearly showing the more severe the comorbidity, the worse the outcome is, even though they survived their cancer.
Mark?
You know, just to emphasize JB's point, and I couldn't agree more, what really brought this home in my mind in the breast cancer arena is looking at the mortality events in the ATTACK trial, Arimidex versus tamoxifen. Here we spent enormous resources trying to measure relatively trivial nuances in efficacy, distinguishing aromatase inhibition versus tamoxifen. But if you look at the mortality events in that trial, a lot of them are non-cancer mortality events, a lot of them, an alarming number. Consequently, I reached the conclusion after looking at that data set that we're probably going to be doing a greater service to our patients who are getting adjuvant endocrine therapy by measuring their hemoglobin A1C, their blood pressure, and their cholesterol. And then after that, it may matter very little which of the two endocrine agents you use, because you're doing such a big service on the other front.